It's Taco Tuesday, or Tattletale Tuesday, or something. It's Tuesday. This is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. I think it's Tuesday. Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021. And this is the way it is. It's not the way it was. It's not the way it could have been. It's the way it is. I'm drinking some apple cider again. This is getting down to the bottom of my gallon, getting close to being done with it. And some interesting stuff that has been going on. Just some you know, there's always the big news cycle that's happening. Of course, Joe Biden, the former vice president, is off in at this COP meeting, which I think is some kind of climate something summit, whatever it is. I don't think what they're calling it, the COP thing. So the interesting thing about all that is that there's just weird stuff going on over there between Biden and other people. Of course, now he has to, you know, face Macron with this whole French deal with the Australians and the nuclear submarine. So he's trying to cop out on that one. Like he said, cop out. Isn't that it? That's a good, yeah. He's copping out at the COP meeting. He's basically throwing Australia under the bus, saying, well, I figured you knew all about this deal. I didn't realize you were unaware that we were talking to Australia about nuclear submarines. What? That's just, that blows my mind. It just blows my mind that he would go there. Oh, yeah, I just figured, you know, Australia was telling you that they were talking to us. Now, there had to be rumors. Because you know that there are spies everywhere. Google. I hate to tell you this. But, you know, Google, it's not a conspiracy theory. The military has meetings. The Pentagon has meetings with Google. The black bag funding that comes through the Pentagon helped to start Google after the original guys sold it to the company that bought it. The original guys that made Google, I think they sold it for like $1 million, thinking that they really made out on that deal. Oh, we made our million, or whatever it was. It was a couple $1 million, whatever it was. And of course, now it's, you know, a $1 billion company, multi-billion dollar. There are deals under the table with governments in revolving around the whole Google search engines and all the information that they can gather. It is a monstrosity. And it is potentially one of the largest tentacles in the beast's repertoire. The tough part of it is that there's a lot done, a lot more being done in with regards to encryption with emails. I hear these. I'm gonna go down this road right now. This is my first little rant. I'm gonna talk about Biden a little bit, but I'm also gonna talk about some of the things that Lindsey Graham said and some of the things that are going on with climate change and all this stuff. Let's see where this goes if I just go down this particular rant. Now, back in the it was in the 80s. I remember this happened late 80s, early 90s. There was this big thing happening in Congress. It was kind of under the radar, but it was broadcast. They did make a little show about it for a couple days, and it was about the issue of the internet and encryption and what we were going to do with it in this country in terms of what was being encrypted and all, you know, the messages and all this other stuff. Interestingly enough, Congress kind of made this little deal about how, you know, what would be allowed with encryption. So I hear these, there's an app called Signal, and I happen to be on it. There's also other apps out there. There's other web services and supposedly these IP address, the VPNs, all this other stuff that's out there, the antivirus stuff, all of the other stuff that's out there to protect your security. know, LifeLock, all that stuff. I am suspicious of all of that. Is that bad of me to be suspicious of all that? When someone tells me they're going to secure my life, just give us all your information. We're going to pass all your information is going to go through our company, and we're going to secure it for you. I kind of, it's almost like I feel like, I think I'm just going to take my chances. I had a run-in with virus protection software at one point. I'm not going to say what kind of operating system I use. But I was using a particular operating system, and I was using this antivirus stuff that I put on there. And constantly, I was constantly getting these notifications that they were stopping these viruses. Or they, you know, you get this free thing where you can check your computer for viruses. Oh, you've got 27 viruses. You know, would you like to buy our whatever? And it seemed like I had more problems and more issues with my computer with that virusware stuff. I just don't trust it. Now, I've got an operating system now that I trust and that has, I have never had a virus that I'm aware of, never been hacked in terms of my computer security. But I'm very careful about where I go online as well. I don't click on a lot of links that I get in emails. When I go someplace, I typically go there to specifically type in the address, and I go there. I go to addresses that I know where I'm going. And I kind of track some of my, you know, I watch what kind of internet I sign on to as well. With all my devices. Now, the interesting thing about all this is, and you have to give up, there has to be some, you know, voluntary exchange of information at some point in order to do business with individuals and with companies. The reasonable expectation of privacy within those companies is that they will not then take that information and use it to their gain or to do something harmful to you. Now, most of them, like Facebook, is just very blatantly they'll take your information. You are the product with Facebook. That's why it's free, because they have market reach. They track everything you're doing on Facebook, even online sometimes, or where your locations are, and they will, you know, tailor marketing around that, and they're selling, you know, directed marketing and specific marketing to demographics, to people who want to buy advertising on Facebook, as well as other things. I mean, there's also Facebook also, Zuckerberg, he also has meetings with high-ups in intelligence agencies as well. Don't think for a minute he doesn't. And when they call these guys before Congress, of course, they sit there and they talk, and then that makes it look like there's something going on. It's nothing but theater. It's the politician's opportunity to grandstand something before the public, and it's the opportunity for those being grilled to have their narrative in front of the population as well. But trust me, they have prepared statements. They're prepped on everything. The thing I don't like about some of the, like these VPNs. Okay, so you got this VPN or you got this service that encrypts everything for you, and then they do it like this. There's this one right now that's pretty popular. I think it's being advertised even on the Epic Times, and I wish they would look into it a little bit more before they accept the advertisement, because I don't trust it. It's there's this particular little known legislative act that says this is part of the Patriot Act. It's been since 2001, and I think at least since then. I'm sure it was probably before that. There are certain intelligence agencies that are in charge of any kind of commerce between this country and outside our borders. They have full rights to collect any data transmission from this country outside of this country. We're real big on not spying on people within the country, but they do that because the Patriot Act gave them authority to do that under certain parameters. And those parameters go pretty deep. You know anything about 9 degrees of separation or whatever it is, they they play that game, and they can pretty much spy on just about everybody, indirectly or directly. Not wittingly, Senator. Not wittingly. If you remember, was it Tapper? Whatever his name is. So yes, they do. And here's the issue with this whole thing. Encryption is regulated. If you came up with your own encryption code and started chatting on the internet, I guarantee you'd probably have feds knocking at your door. For one thing, they have encryption busters, the supercomputers that they use to try to figure that stuff out. Now, the way to do that is to go three or four levels deep. You come up with a language that is not very well known. You use that language to speak in, and then you modify that language with something. If you've ever heard of Hubby Dubby, which is it used to be back on, well, there's a little show called Zoom back in the day on the public television. It might still be on, I don't know. Come on and zoom. This little thing, they had this little show, and they had this thing that they called Hubby Dubby. It was a language. Abai daba noo. Abai yawar sebe. And what it was, sabaebe. I guess that was the way they said. And what you did is you put this, put this ub before every vowel. Subo is so. Now, if you do that, or if you come up with a more complicated version of that with a language that's very unknown, and then you take that language and you encrypt it, that's probably the best level of protection you might have before the code breakers get what you're doing. But they will, it will eventually recognize a pattern. Might take it about four times as long. It will eventually be able to figure it out. Just because of the nature of our language. Then if you use code words on top of that, so, like chicken means something else. It means your car, whatever. It's just you use subwords. That's probably the best level of protection you could get right there. So you want to go through all that just to be able to send an email to your friend about, what's going on with the baseball scores. Go ahead and do that. Let's see how that works out for you. The problem with this is that it goes overseas. Now, this one is in Switzerland. It's where they have their, which it's not part of the Cloud Act or whatever it is. It's some kind of, they advertise this as being some kind of special encrypted area that isn't part of some kind of act, or is part of some kind of rights thing. Well, the little known elephant in the room there, the little known secret there, is that you are basically, they are able to, because it's going overseas, because it's going out of the country, they can record everything you're saying, everything that you're texting. Now, their argument to that is, well, it's encrypted. Well, somehow you can send an email encrypted through that service to a friend that's not a member of the organization. So they unencrypt it before it comes back to that person. Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, in other words, it's only being encrypted one direction, and it's unencrypted by the time it hits their email box, and their email box probably has, five or six bots in it that are keeping track of everything that's going on. So it's just, what we're exposed to during the Trump. I guess it was during the Trump. Was it during the Trump years? I think it was during the Trump years. Might have been before that. That the NSA and the CIA and some other organizations were on the hot seat. And we're talking about the Russian interference. And one of the things that came up was, whether or not they're collecting data on U.S. citizens. They absolutely do. Every single bit of communication that happens, including this podcast, is being put in a pile of information, kept on servers, trillions of gigabytes of data every day. It's being kept stored on these hard drives. And what they do with those then is they claim that they're just collecting the data, they're not listening to it. they have what they call metadata, which is, you know, just the phone numbers and the names of the individuals. They don't have any conversations that they look at. In order for them to look at it, they would have to have a warrant for that. Of course, they can get a FISA warrant just by filling out some paperwork, taking it to the FISA judge. And we all saw how that went. It's basically pretty much change or lie or whatever you want to do with that form, throw it before the judge. And of course, nothing happens to you when you do that if you do it wrong. If you change a yes to a no, nothing will happen to you. So that's what they do. That goes along with the whole game that they play where they, an ongoing investigation that can't answer any questions. Alec Baldwin tried to pull that off the other day. Well, the sheriff told me I can't talk about it. I'm forbidden to talk about anything because there's an ongoing investigation. No, the sheriff can't talk about anything. Your lawyer might have told you not to talk about anything. You can talk about whatever you want. They're not going to criminally charge you for talking about anything. But it could end up being an admission for court. They could use it against you in court if you talk about it. That's the problem. That's why your lawyer doesn't want you to talk about it. The little known secret is that there's all this data is being collected. Someone has access to it. If you think for a moment that there's not some guy in a garden, all this stuff, the night watchman's not tapping in to see what all is going on out there. There's somebody, some security guard, rent-a-cop guy probably, has access to all this stuff, would be my guess. And of course, China can come in and say, hey, we'll give you a $100 bill under the table here if you just let us, you know some stuff. Oh, $100? Yeah, I'll take it. I don't know. I don't know if that's happening or not. All I know is there's all kinds of room for compromise, and that can turn around to bite us really hard because we're keeping all this data supposedly stored. And somehow there's access to it from somewhere. How do we know where those lines are going and what's happening with all that? And who has hacked into it? I'm sure China and Russia and Iran would just love to have access to all that. A lot of people in marketing would love to have access to all that. Google probably does have access to all that. Right? You know, Google's probably helping them with all that. So there's just all this stuff, and call me a conspiracy nut. I don't care what you want to call me. But, you know, for a long time, everybody was saying, oh, yeah, the government's keeping all the records are recording everything. Oh, you're just a conspiracy nut. Now we find out in testimony before Congress that, yes, they are keeping all the records of everything, all the communications that are happening within the country. Used to be that they would just record everything that was going on outside the country. Of course, the way they fooled that was some of these telecommunication companies would have all of their data. Everything that you, if you were making a call from one city to the next, that call would be routed through a server in Europe. A lot of people don't realize that. That was happening in some of the larger areas, larger communication areas. Some of the bigger companies like AT&T and T-Mobile, or not T-Mobile, and there was a couple others that were doing that. Bell, whatever it was. And that gave them the opportunity to record all that stuff. And this was all very real. It wasn't just they wouldn't deny it. They didn't advertise it. They didn't put it out there, but they wouldn't deny it. So this kind of stuff was going on. And this is why I do not trust much when it comes to the whole VPN thing. I mean, McAfee actually was, I think somebody found out something about McAfee at one point. This was after what's his name? The actual guy who started McAfee. Somewhere in there, it was either during the time he had it or right at the end of the time he had it, sold it off, or right after he sold it off, they were discovering that there was this issue with, I think he actually owned it still. I'm not sure if he was in control of it anymore, but I think he was selling it off. And they found out that there were actual viruses from McAfee being used to put out there so that the McAfee software would be relevant. In other words, oh, there's a virus out there. The the cartoon virus is out there. Oh, McAfee's got a fix for that. Sound familiar? Oh, we got COVID. We got a fix for that. To the tune of billions of dollars. So there's a. I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying, you know, that we live in a world of nefarious people. Not everybody out there has your best intentions in mind. And this, you know, sometimes the public is just, they just want us to go about our business, being productive, making money so they can tax us. They're going to punish us for making money. They can tax you. Keep that tax money flowing so we can control you with that. Now, I'm going to talk about this whole vaccine mandate thing. The papers, I'm not saying that the vaccine is necessarily the mark of the beast. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that we are ushering in the system by which the mark of the beast will be able to utilize monitoring every single human being on the planet. The reason I say that is because the spirit behind this, the motivation behind this, seems to be very eerily similar to you can't buy or sell without it. There are some countries right now, some smaller countries are actually saying, if you're not vaccinated, you will not be able to participate in society, to go to a restaurant, to go to any place outside of your home, basically, anywhere where people are, any kind of an event, any kind of food service, school, whatever it is, until 2023. That's what they're telling them. Now, that's the kind of threat and coercion that most people are going to say, just get the jab. You know, just go ahead and do it. Now, I'm involved in an industry right now that's struggling with this really on the forefront. Now, my understanding is that the Biden administration has backed off on the federal mandate for federal employees and for contractors, not for federal employees, but for contractors. They're losing a lot of people over this. There are military individuals who are not going to do it, not going to get vaxxed. There are federal workers to the tune of many, many, hundreds, and in some cases, thousands. And of course, they'll always say, well, you know, we have a workforce, we have a labor force of 15,000 people, so we lose 4,000 people. You know, that's a small amount. You know, if you're losing 10%, you're losing 10% of your, or more, of your labor force, that at a time when labor is short already, you're talking about slowing down the economy. And we have an economy that's already struggling with supplies. And now we're going to have a labor supply, a labor shortage, as well as every other kind of shortage. This is not going to bode well. These are all the triggering events that lead to rapid inflation and a depreciation at the same time, an economic slump and rising prices. I'm telling you, this is a perfect storm, a perfect storm for an economic mess. And it will have global impact. And that's the biggest problem we've got right now, is that the whole global economy is in really tough shape. You know, there was an interesting question brought up today by Sky News Australia. They were talking about the China issue and how they're a developing nation. They're a developing country. They have developing country nation status, or whatever it is, from the world, whatever it is. And the interesting thing about that is, what developing country has nuclear technology, nuclear warheads, hypersonic missiles, a navy that is larger than any other navy on the planet, and a population of over a billion, one of the largest armies in the world, and yet they're a developing nation. They have developing status. And what that does, what developing nation status does, gives them the ability to not be brought into things like the climate summit stuff, the Paris Accords, all that kind of stuff. They can get out of that. They don't have to comply with all the pollution stuff. And then even if they do, it's just based on very limited oversight. And they're still able to do all this stuff and create, you know, all kinds of pollution and not be held accountable to it because they're a developing nation. They're far beyond that. You know, who's deciding to make those kinds of definition decisions? It's ironic to me that that's happening right now. So, as we press forward in the challenging times ahead, I want to make sure that everybody understands with eyes wide open what we're heading into, that you'll be fully prepared. And the biggest thing is that you do not lose hope. You know, we obviously have this massive, have a massive rebellion, basically, with all of the issues of the vaccine mandate. That's lots of protests going on, thousands of people in the streets. They are backing down somewhat on some of the, supposedly going to back down and relax some of the issues with contractors, the federal contractors. That's still yet to be seen. I haven't seen anything come down. It's going to be interesting because I'm just in a point in my job with this particular company. I had to go through some additional training, and I'm going to be kind of changing the job title a little bit within what I'm doing. Right when I get done with this and get basically certified to do this other job, it's going to be a situation where I may not be able to remain there. They're going to probably tell me to go home, which is sad, but that's just the case of what's going on. It'll be interesting to see what happens with all that. I'll find out more tomorrow about that. I don't know. The show tomorrow, if I do have a show tomorrow morning, it's going to be fairly short. I'm going to be on a road trip back home tomorrow. That's the plan. If all goes well this evening, I'll be able to get out of here. And I'm going to be up, you know, till pretty late tonight. So I have to get on the road tomorrow at a decent hour at least. And I'm hoping to be able to get a show in at some point before I leave from the hotel. That's my plan. So we'll see how that works out for me. Now, if you didn't know, here's some interesting travel news. Airlines, over the weekend, this last weekend, American Airlines canceled over 1,500 flights. I think it was close to 2,000 flights they canceled over the entire weekend. Initially blaming things on high winds. Well, it's the winds of change blowing they're having trouble with. A lot of internal stuff going on. This more and more is the protests against some of the mandate stuff. It's a labor shortage. Now, it doesn't matter if it's baggage handlers, pilots, ticket agents, cleaning staff. It doesn't matter what it is. If you lose, if those people walk out, you know, mechanics, whatever it is, if those people all call in sick, you're not moving. Everything's are canceling. It takes a lot more people than just pilots or flight attendants to get an airplane in the air. And any one of those groups can bring it to a halt. And I believe that's what we're seeing at this point. Of course, internally, they know what's going on, but they're probably most of these companies really don't like the mandate, but they're at the same time that they like the mandate because it takes it out of their hands and says, well, their hands are tied. We have to comply or we're going to be fined. So we have to comply. Kudos to Iowa. The state of Iowa just passed a bill giving anybody who loses their job due to vaccine mandates will be able to collect unemployment, which I think is something that every state should be looking at, especially every red state, at least. I'd like to see that happen in the state of Indiana. I don't know if it's on the block or if anybody's looked at that. I'm sure that they have. Usually states look at, you know, they kind of keep an eye on what everybody else is doing. I think it's going to be very popular in Iowa. And hopefully... sorry, I had a little COVID in my nose there. I had to sneeze out. And hopefully some other states will follow suit on that. I'm looking forward to seeing what Indiana does. I know Illinois will not do that. The city of Chicago is a mess right now. They've got people basically, again, public workers, employees are walking off the job, calling in sick, doing whatever they're doing, protesting. Speaking of this, I've caught myself saying that quite a bit. I usually don't like to say and too much. I was listening to that's the only reason I really can't stand to listen to the press conferences when Circleback Psaki is talking. Because she says and typically just so many times in answering a question that it drives me up a wall. Now, I usually listen to video on YouTube or anything I'm listening to. If I can, I try to increase the speed of it. So I don't listen to it at normal speed unless it's something I really need to listen to and want to, enjoy listening to. Like an explanation of how to do something and even then I typically will put it on at least 1.25 times the speed, sometimes 1.5. I want to get through a bunch of stuff and just want to see what they're doing. That way I spend a lot less time watching the video and I still get the information. My brain can pick it up faster than they can put it out. However, I was listening to a thing this morning, and this another commentator, and he was playing something that Circleback Psaki was saying and answering a question. And the way that they so disingenuously like to change the subject and talk about semantics. She was asked a question about these illegal immigrants being flown around in the dead of night. Or in the middle of the night. He said, middle of the night. She said, well, it's not the middle of the night. It's just a very early flight. And what you don't hear there is, he's wrong. He's asking the question because he's wrong. They're not flying around in the middle of the night. It's just really early flights, earlier than most people would want to take. 2 a.m, Now, I guarantee you, if somebody woke me up at 2 a.m, I'd say this is the middle of the night. I don't know what she considers to be the middle of the night. Apparently, there's about 5 minutes between late night and early morning, and that's middle of the night for her, I guess. I guess that's the way she does that. She was going on about the semantics of the issue instead of dealing with the issue. The issue is we're flying illegal aliens around, planting them in different cities and in different states and not telling the governors, not even telling the governors. No, not even letting them know what's going on. There's NGOs around the country in different states, and they're putting them in these places, and some of them, they move them there, and then there's nobody to take care of them. They actually don't have any foster care for them at all. They'll put them in apartments, and sometimes it's just kids. I've talked about that before. I'm not going to go down that road again because my heart rips out every time I think about it. The other thing that is happening here, person was asking a question about the supply chain, how things, people aren't getting furniture and this and that. And he happens to mention treadmills. I don't know why he would mention treadmills. There's so many other products and supplies that we get that could have talked about anything but a treadmill. So Jen, we'll circle back. Psaki, she says, oh, the dreaded loss of a treadmill, the delayed treadmill. Like, oh, that's just too bad. It's not a big deal. Just gonna, like, you can live without your treadmill. So that's what you're picking on. You're not. It's just because he didn't mention the right things in his question. The question is, what are you doing about the supply chain issues? No answer there. Just this quip remark back. Snide comment. And that's what we get. Which is very disingenuous, and basically it is lying by omission because you're ignoring the issue. So, yeah, so that's that. The other Another thing, I was talking about this the other day. A Harvard professor came out and was talking about the hospitals and employees should be hiring people with natural immunity. It's again, he studied the data. He understands what's going on, and he knows that natural immunity is by far better than even vaccinated people. Now, of course, we're still being told. This really good report came out recently. It was kind of a collage of different things that have been said from the beginning about the vaccinations, about the vaccines. It started off with Fauci saying everything about the vaccinations and the way they were being reported initially, and then what has happened in the process. And it was just over the course of about 6 months that these reports were coming out. They were showing headlines in different newspapers and magazine articles, as well as statements that people have made. Initially, Fauci was saying that the vaccines are highly effective in the 90% range, 90 to 95% effective. There were some reports that were coming out saying they were 100% effective in the natural light. In the real world, they were being shown to be even more effective. Many of them were showing about 98 to 99% effective. And speaking of, I missed that topic there. I was going to say, circle back to Psaki. During this interview, answering this question, it was just a few sentences, and she said the word if that's a word, she said 28 times. 28 times to say Really, that's just really disgusting for me. Can't stand that. So the point I was trying to make here was this report was about the efficacy of this thing and what they were discovering, and it just over the course they showed like every percentage drop that would be coming out. It was reported, and of course at one point it got down to like 42% effectiveness. And of course that is the point where they started talking about the booster, how we needed the booster because it's so effective. It's so effective. Fauci even came out and said, even though you need a third shot, it's still, still very effective and probably more effective than natural immunity. Well, then, of course, the studies came out that natural immunity was by far, especially against the variant. Because initially, Fauci was saying, well, the vaccine is good for the variants. It's going to cover the variants. And then we find out natural immunity actually is better than the variants, on the variants than the vaccine is. And the real question that I think is still in the hearts, in the minds of those of us who are wondering about this thing because of the quick, rapid, implementation of this thing, what are the long-term effects on our immune system? What are we going to find 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, or 2 years down the road, or even by the middle of next year? It's very questionable. There are a multitude of new diseases, or just diseases in general, health issues that are cropping up around the country. Are these health issues somehow related to anything to do with the vaccine? Or is it long-term symptoms from having acquired COVID? Or is it something about the people who've had COVID and accidentally, they've now taken the vaccine, which supposedly, and there's this report out as well, that if you've had COVID, you're like slightly covered, by effective immunity. If you take the vaccine and you didn't get COVID, you haven't had COVID, but you take the vaccine, you're more covered, more immune. If you've had COVID and you have the vaccine, you are like 100 times better than someone who hasn't had it or hasn't had the vaccine. There's no study. They're putting out this information. They're not citing any study or scientific data on this. None. Zero. Which is just, it just blows my mind. that they're getting away with this and putting this stuff out there. And the CDC, this one report that the CDC just put out, they won't even say who the study was from. They just say they have a study that says that the natural immunity is not as effective as the vaccine. It's coming, folks. The system is in place. The vaccine mandates are in place. The vaccine passports are at our doorstep. And we need to fight with all of our being to keep this from happening. Because I'm telling you, this is the system that will be introduced worldwide that will usher in the ability to create a worldwide marketplace. That's the show for today, folks. Have a great Tuesday. Have a great evening. I'll be back here tomorrow if I can, even if it's just a short show. God bless everyone. Have a great night.